Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recognizes insufficient sleep in adolescents as an important public health issue that significantly affects the health and safety as well as the academic success of our nation's middle and high school students. My guest today is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's a pediatrician on the AAP Committee on Adolescents. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bruner. So the AAP is recommending what exactly? That the schools start later so that the teens can sleep a little bit later, or that we all give a push to make these teens go to bed earlier?
Well, that's a wonderful question. The Academy is actually pushing to move the school start times back, and many schools throughout the country have done that with great results. So the issues right now are, of course, that kids aren't getting enough sleep, but one of the data studies shows that people who start school at about 8:30 in the morning, and that's when we're pushing school starts to be, are actually getting enough sleep in order to be learning more while they're at school, and also, importantly, not getting into car accidents because they're not driving when they're exhausted or when it's too dark, trying to get to school in the morning. So we're really pushing, the first thing we're really trying to push is for the schools to start later.
So if the schools do start later, and in the districts that have already tried this, are they finding that the teens say, oh, well, now I don't have to be at school till 8:30, so now I can stay up till 2?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Melanie. And actually what the studies have shown is that the kids are not doing that. In fact, one or two studies have shown that kids actually fall asleep a little bit earlier than they would have if they were having to get up early, and no one really knows why that is, unless it's maybe because people were just so worried about trying to get enough sleep that they couldn't fall asleep, or they just had so much going on trying to get all their stuff together so they could get up and get their showers and get ready for school. A lot of schools start somewhere between 7 and 8. In fact, we found one school district that was actually starting at 7:10 in the morning. And if a kid was trying to take a bus to school, they were leaving their house at about 6 and getting out of bed between 4:30 and 5. And honestly, kids have a hard time falling asleep. Their brain structure, brain chemistry just does not allow them to fall asleep much before 10 o'clock at night. And toddlers and younger children obviously can fall asleep anywhere between 7 and 9, but you get a teenager or pre-teenager, their circadian rhythm, their biologic clock is set up in such a way they just can't fall asleep before 10 or 11, and you're waking them up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and if they've gone to bed at 11, that's only 6 hours of sleep. In a person whose brain really needs 8 to 10 hours.
Dr. Bruner, where do the parents lie in this, and what responsibility? I'm the meanest mom on the block. I tell my kids turn everything off at 8 o'clock unless it's homework. No more electronics, no more anything. And so if you're bored, go to sleep. And as a result, both my preteens and my teenager go to bed pretty early. But their friends, I'm always, yelling at their friends, how come you go to bed at midnight? How come you go to bed at 10:30 or 11 o'clock? And they're like, well, I don't know. So where do the parents come in to play with telling these kids, go to bed?
Well, again, these are really important sleep hygiene issues that have been plaguing not only children, but adults as well. And we have a huge sleep issue, not only in children, but also in the adult population. A lot of that is because of excess intake of caffeine. A lot of it is because people aren't getting enough exercise throughout the day. And a lot of it is because they're on their screens, on their devices. And the bed is not a place where people fall asleep, which is really what the bed is for a teenager. And it's supposed to, all the electronic stuff, homework, laptop, movies, everything should happen away from the bed so that the bed is just a safe place to fall asleep. And all electronic devices should be turned off at least an hour before the head hits the pillow. So the brain isn't going and going and going, and so the light from these devices isn't stimulating the brain and kind of shutting down the normal system in the brain, which is to secrete melatonin, which allows kids to fall asleep. So if a kid's looking at a light on their phone or on their iPad or on their any kind of electronic device, the brain perceives that light and doesn't set off the normal melatonin surge, and they don't actually get themselves physiologically ready for sleep.
So do the parents?
The parents and the kids need to self-regulate. I mean, that's just, but it's really, really important for the parents to be parents and have the basket they walk through the house or apartment before bed and say, I need all these devices in this basket, and they need to be away charged somewhere else. And if the kid responds, well, that's my alarm clock, I need it, then, you know, the parent can say, well, no, I'm going to be your alarm clock. We'll get you an alarm clock. but this can't be that, because sadly it's temptation to see when the text boop, boop, boop happens all night long. Kids kind of
all night
roll over
long.
And turn it on. Yep.
Those things all night long, and I go in after my son has fallen asleep and I turn his phone off. And right. He, you know, wakes up in the morning and says, oh, you know, and I said, I'll always wake you. But, I mean, one message is that parents can start much earlier getting their kids on a schedule and getting them to bed. Give us some of your best tips. You said walk around with the basket at least an hour before, you know, prescribed bedtime. Make sure there's no electronics, TV, screen time, nothing, unless it's homework, nothing that you do an hour before bedtime that will stimulate that brain activity. What else can we do to get our teens to go to sleep?
Well, the other thing is to make sure they're getting at least 20 to 30 minutes of exercise at least 4 to 5 times a week. And that's hard when if a kid isn't in an activity like a sport or in PE. So a lot of times what I will have families do if they're going to go shopping or go to the grocery store is park far from the entrance so that at least they're walking across the parking lot into the mall or the wherever they're shopping and walking back to the car through that. That's an automatic. Taking a few laps at the mall, if that's what they need to do, or around the track at school, whatever. I think that the purpose is to make sure that they're physically tired when they go to sleep by being physically active throughout the day. And actually, they'll sleep better if they've exercised. The other tip is to make sure that really caffeine is not in the kids' diet. And caffeine can sneak into a lot of kids' diets, like in energy drinks or even just sort of natural food drinks. Sometimes if you look at the ingredients closely, you'll see caffeine in there. Or a similar type product like guarana or whatever kind of an herbal stimulant might sneak its way into a natural drink. And definitely, if a kid is going to insist on having some kind of caffeinated product in the morning, nothing after noon. And basically, I really try to stay away from sleep aids from kids, sleep medications or anything like that, because it's just really not a good idea for a patient or a kid to, or a family to rely on a prescription medication to get a kid to fall asleep, because that's just not a good formula for learning how to self-soothe and get to sleep.
So just to reiterate, making sure there's not caffeine in these children's diets, and certainly not anywhere near the end of the day, get those electronics out of their room an hour at least before they're ready for bed. Make sure they get plenty of exercise and be educated on how much sleep children really do need and teenagers really do need. Dr. Bruner, in just the last minute, please wrap it up on the AAP recommendations on later start times for adolescents based on sleep needs.
Well, thank you very much. So the Academy of Pediatrics took 4 years to write this policy statement, and it represents 60,000 pediatricians. So this is a very powerful document that parents can take to their school administration, school boards, PTSA, PTAs, which basically has about over 130 references recommending a later school start time of 8:30. And the data supporting this change in school start time is based on a number of school districts throughout the country that have already done this. In particular in Minnesota and other parts of Kentucky, where they have shown by starting the school times later, it does improve kids' cognitive performance, it does decrease depression and anxiety, it improves alertness, it decreases absenteeism and tardyism, and finally it decreases the amount of car accidents that occur in this population.
Okay, so getting your kids to sleep should be one of your number one priorities, and we'll see if the schools jump on board with a little bit later start times, 8:30. You know, teach your teens that these are the things that they need to do. Sleep is so important for all of us. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.